Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, you had a pretty full schedule booked for the summer of 2020, but because of the pandemic, just about all your travels were canceled.
Yeah, Scott. We've all had lifestyle-altering experiences this year.
Yep.
In March, for example, I spoke to congregations in Augusta, Georgia, Lansing, Michigan, and in my own hometown, all from my living room.
Well, at least it saved time on travel.
Yes, I suppose. But there's no substitute for face-to-face fellowship.
Nope.
And the activities that take place at a camp are especially derailed by not being able to gather together on site.
You had several camps that were canceled, didn't you?
Yes, I was scheduled to speak at youth camps in Michigan, Florida, and New York, all that were canceled. Only a family camp, Storybook Lodge Christian Camp, way up in northern Minnesota, took place as planned. And that was such a blessing to be able to get together with everyone. But in order to salvage something from the lost week of camp in New York, the director of Camp Li Loli, which is in western New York State, put together some videos related to the activities they normally have at the camp. And then added to that is a video clip of me presenting a short devotion.
A video clip? Uh-oh. So you're branching out in the video. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be abandoning radio, does it?
No. Oh, I have absolutely no plans to abandon the Scripture on Creation radio program,
Scott. Oh, good.
After watching the video clips of my devotions, I've come to the firm conclusion that I definitely have, as they say, a face for radio. There is, however, one advantage with video. You can include pictures and graphs, which expands the kinds of material you can present.
A picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yes, and sometimes a picture is the only way to explain a point. So anyway, what I thought I'd do for today's radio program is invite our listeners to view the video clips we made for the Camp Li Loli campers, as well as discuss a topic I addressed in one of them.
Okay, so how would a person see the videos?
Well, the videos are posted on the camp's Facebook page. So on Facebook, you search for Camp Li Loli. That's spelled Camp Li-Loli.
That's an interesting name. Does it stand for something?
Yes, Camp Li Loli stands for Life, Love, and Light.
Three identities of Jesus. Cool.
I agree. And the camp is wonderful. It's in the hill country of western New York. And one of the camps, called Roundup, features horseback riding. That was the camp I was going to speak at. So, to see the videos, as I said, go to the Camp Li Loli Facebook page and look for the 2020 Roundup posts. Now, in those videos, I won't be speaking immediately. Stephen March, who was the director, includes a very short, humorous skit before each devotion. And one of the things you'll notice immediately is how talented he is at video, just like you with audio, Scott.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to seeing these videos, and we'll give the information again at the end of the program on how anyone can watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we should let people know what the topics are that you talk about.
Well, that's a good idea. The first is about the temptation of Eve. The next is about being created in God's image. In another, I ask the question, why was the ark so big? And finally, I address the evolutionists' claim that birds are dinosaurs.
Birds are dinosaurs? Really? Who says that?
Well, Scott, I don't want to give the whole presentation away. You'll just have to check out the video. But having said that, I do want to talk about the ark, because I think it's so relevant to the days we are now living in.
Okay, so you said you asked the question, why was the ark so big? Isn't it obvious? Noah had to take two of every kind of animal on it so that they could repopulate the earth after the flood.
Well, that is stating the obvious. However, what you generally hear with respect to the size of the ark is there's no way Noah could build a ship big enough to hold all the animals. And of course, there also needed to be room for plants and food for not just Noah and his family, but all those animals.
Well, a lot of the plants could just have been in the form of seeds, couldn't they?
Excellent point, Scott. And a lot of the plants, in the form of what we often call cuttings, would have survived the year-long flood, floating in mats like giant organic rafts of vegetation.
Oh, yeah.
As well as millions of seeds that weren't necessarily taken on the ark. But anyway, back to the objection that the ark could not have been big enough to hold all the organisms necessary to repopulate the earth. That assumption was always based on one's imagination of what it would take. But now, because of the life-size replica of the ark built by Answers in Genesis,
the Ark Encounter in Williamstown, Kentucky.
That's it. Because of the Ark Encounter, which was built based on the dimensions given in the Bible, we don't have to use our imaginations anymore. We can actually see with our own eyes how big the ark was. You know, I remember years ago, reading in Whitcomb and Morris's Genesis Flood, the calculations that were done for the volume of the ark, and it was something like more than 500 railroad boxcars.
Yes, I remember hearing something like that.
Well, that idea, again, required a fair bit of imagination. It surely gave the sense it was big. But I don't think it was real effective in painting the picture of the ark. That image didn't look anything like the ark. But when I saw the ark at the Ark Encounter, from the outside and then inside, my thought wasn't, how did Noah fit two of each kind in here? It was, why did God have Noah build it so big?
Mm-hmm.
And then I recalled what was going on during the decades it took to build the ark. You see, Noah and his sons, and surely lots of hired hands from the community, would have been building that ship a fair bit of the time. But that's not all Noah was doing. The Bible, in the New Testament, tells us he was also preaching to the world to get on it with him and his family to escape the coming judgment. I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:20. Quote, "When the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water," unquote. Now, Scott, read 2 Peter 2:5.
Okay, so speaking of God, it says, "He did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly."
So even though we're not told what all Noah was doing while he was also building the ark back in the Genesis account, the Spirit revealed to Peter that Noah was not just constructing the ark, he was preaching. Surely, he was exhorting the people to repent and pleading with them to believe his message that judgment was coming. Now, Scott, did you notice in those verses we read in 1 and 2 Peter a numerical detail given in both of them?
Are you referring to both of them noting that eight people were on the ark?
Yes. And I wonder why include that specifically and both times. Could it be God is emphasizing that it was just eight people, when there could have been so many more? Wouldn't it be just like our patient, merciful Lord to provide all the room necessary to take as many people as would come on the ark? But no one believed Noah, and no one entered the ark except Noah and seven others. And when God closed the door and the flood came, it was too late, and they all perished. And it's pretty much the same today. Now, there's a lot of believers in the world today, but still, the large majority of people scoff at the idea of Jesus coming back to judge mankind. But anyone who will repent and trust Jesus to save them from their sins will be saved from their deserved judgment. That's what Peter talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3. Go ahead and read verse 3.
"Know this, first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts."
Verse 4, "And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation." You see, people say, it was 2,000 years ago that Jesus said he was going to come again. Give it up. All that Bible stuff is nonsense. And let's be carefully honest with ourselves. Without the proper perspective, that is, God's perspective, you know, those objections would be hard to refute. However, God helps us by reminding us this has all happened before. Let's keep reading, Scott. Read 2 Peter 3:5.
For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and by water,
through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water.
But the present heavens and earth, by his word, are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men.
Now just think of the attitude the average person has concerning what Peter just said. The earth is reserved for fire for the day of judgment. They scoff and will often mock you for saying such old-fashioned, unenlightened words. In fact, they may even accuse you of being intolerant or even worse, of hate speech.
Yep, that's very common.
Do you think Noah heard any of that kind of rebuttal to his preaching righteousness in his day? I would think surely he did. And it can be intimidating if we don't keep in mind God's perspective on these things. So the Lord, through Peter, reminds us of this in verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That patient, merciful, and loving God who waits for people to repent and trust Jesus today is the same one who was waiting in the days of Noah. So with all that in mind, you know, I think the Lord told Noah to build an ark that would have held lots of people. That's why it was so big. But no one listened. No one believed. And this is how Jesus describes what then happened. Scott, read Luke 17, 26 and 27.
And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all.
You know, it's fascinating that in the parallel account in Matthew, it says, quote, they did not understand until the flood came, unquote. That may be because there were no warning signs. Only Noah's preaching warned them of the coming judgment of the flood. But today, we have first God's word, which warns all mankind of coming judgment. And as well as that, we have signs all around us that we're headed for disaster. Yet unrepentant man refuses to acknowledge that these signs are from the Creator. There's no Creator, they say. Global warming is caused by man, and man can fix it. The coronavirus is an experiment gone bad, and we'll make a vaccine. We'll elect officials who will solve all our economic and social problems. The bottom line is, the rebellious heart of man says, we don't need God. The only thing he's good for is blaming him for our problems. But in spite of that, he is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.
And for those of you interested in seeing the short video clips of Dr. Scripture's devotions for Camp Lilolai, just visit the Camp Lilolai Facebook page. That's LILOLI, Camp Lilolai Facebook page, and watch the 2020 Roundup posts.